Apostle Peter says, you are so much privileged than everyone else, even from the Old Testament saints. You have some great responsibility. Now here we have in 13 to 17, three things Apostle Peter says. Three duties, three responsibilities. And that's what we are going to consider slowly or little by little for this evening. What's the first one? Very clear. We can understand easily. We don't need to, you know, make a research upon it. Peter says very clearly, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There we have the first thing. What is that? Many things are found there, but I think the emphasis should be on, therefore, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. Rest your hope fully. Rest your hope fully means? What does it mean? Rest your hope fully. That means fix your thoughts on that hope. Focus on that hope. And what is the hope there? It says the grace that is to be brought to you. See in verse 10, notice that verse 10 earlier, Peter, he said, grace that would come to you. Try to compare those verses. In verse 10, referring to grace, or when he spoke about grace, he was referring to what? Salvation. Prophets, they studied about salvation. There he said, the grace that would come to you. Now in verse 13 he says, now again, there is a grace that is to be brought to you. So salvation, Peter says, God in his grace gave you salvation, saved you. And God in that same grace going to bring something for you. What is that? What are those things? And when that will happen? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. Maybe we shall turn to one verse in Titus. Titus says it very clearly, all those things together. Titus 2. Verses 11 onwards. Titus 2, verses 11 onwards. You see there, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared. Grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to man. Then, verse 12, teaching us the denying ungodliness and unworldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly. Grace of God teaching us, sustaining us, how to live a godly life. Then, in the end of verse 13 we read, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. See, what I'm trying to say is, by grace, God has saved us. We know it very well. And it is by grace He is keeping us, protecting us, sustaining us, teaching us, guiding us to live a godly life. In that grace itself, that grace will continue. Even that grace is going to bring something for us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear. So Peter says, you put your hope fully on that grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now, see, what Apostle Peter wants to say, not just hope or look forward to that day when Christ shall come, He wants to say that when the Lord is going to come, when Christ shall come again, there is something for you. There is something He is going to bring for you. That is the grace. In God's grace, we don't deserve it. He is going to give us something more. When the Lord shall come. What are those things? See, when the Lord shall come, what is going to happen? From many Bible references, we'll just go through few verses. Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 5:4, when Christ shall come, in His grace, what He is going to do? You see, 1 Peter chapter 5:4. See those verses. Let's see. We'll read very fast. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. In God in His grace, going to bring about something for you. When His Son Christ has come, what is that? He's going to give you a reward. For all your suffering, for all your labor, all your work for Him, will be rewarded when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come. Another thing, we know these verses, yet we shall go through these verses. Then only that passage will be meaningful to us. Otherwise we won't understand the impact, the meaning of that instructions there. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Another thing that shall take place when the Lord shall come. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from. When Christ shall come, what will happen? Paul says, God is going to reveal every secret. You don't judge anybody. From here, what I want to take is, when the Lord shall come, every reality will be revealed. Every motive will be revealed. Then He will give praise to us. Today we may consider that no one can understand me. Everybody misunderstands me. That is not what I intended. That was not my motive. The Lord knows it. Paul says, when the Lord shall come, every motive, every secret, every hidden agenda, every hidden idea will be revealed. Then we shall get praise from God in His grace when the Lord shall come. One more thing. Another thing in Philippians 3 verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3 verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3. Very familiar verse, of course, where we read about what will happen. In the end of 20, which is written there, we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body. It may be conformed to His glorious body. When the Lord shall come, what else is going to happen? Body will be transformed. This lowly body. Body that has all kinds of weakness, sickness, pain, will be transformed. Then one more verse. Of course, these are there. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You know that verses. Apostle Paul says, when the Lord shall come, what will happen? The dead will rise again. The dead will rise again, and then we who remain shall be caught up together with them. The departed ones will rise again. And we who are alive shall be caught up together, raptured. We shall be with Him forever and ever. Paul says, with these words comfort one another. One more thing. 1 John 3:2. John says, brethren, We are God's children today. He says, beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not been revealed, not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. So, what Apostle Peter wants to say in these verses? In God's grace, something God is going to bring for us. One day when Christ shall come. What are those things? Our reward, our labor will be rewarded. Then, motive will be revealed. Body will be transformed. Our departed ones will be risen, and we shall see them. We shall together be transformed and raptured. And we shall be like Christ. Now John says that today the world doesn't know us. The world doesn't recognize us. So Peter says this is the hope. At the coming of Christ, such a grace, such a thing is such things are going to happen. So what you should do, you should focus your hope on these things. Full hope on the coming of Christ, because this is what is going to happen for us. Now I am sure you know it very well at present in Denmark, Copenhagen. What is taking place? You are aware about it. I am sure you know it very well. From 198 or 96 countries, I think 198, thousands and thousands of men and women, delegates are there. What is their effort? In summarized form, what can you say? Repeatedly, we read in the paper, to save the earth. To save the earth. Do you think that they will succeed? On 18th, they are going to make a declaration or joint statement or something like that. They may be able to do something. People from all over the world, they greet those leaders in Denmark. The whole world is watching. But the Bible says, according to the Bible, if you go through the Bible, the Word of God, they cannot have. In other words, hope 15 is not the hope of this world. We cannot hope, or Obama is not the hope. We cannot hope that the world leaders are going to do something for this world. The hope of the world, the hope of a Christian is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is then alone, it's only then, when Christ shall come, God in His grace is going to bring something for us. Our GAs will be removed. Our pain, labor will be rewarded, as we have already seen. It is then our hope, our desire, our waiting, our longing, our salvation, everything will be complete. So Peter says, don't focus much on the worldly matters, the things of the world. Focus on the hope. Fix hope. Fix your attention on the hope, or rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Charlie used to say this illustration or this story about the man of God. I have heard from him. He used to say one man of God called F.W. Grant, you know him, he's an author. Every day before he used to sleep, he will go to the window and look through the window and say, Lord, what? Lord, tonight. This much only. Lord, tonight. Then he will go to sleep. If he gets up in the early morning, he will again go to the window looking How would he say, Lord, Lord, today. So I heard from Brother Charlie that this man of God, he lived with full hope. So morning and evening, his only desire, his only concern, his only hope, his only longing is, Lord, you come. When are you going to come? Today, tomorrow, tonight? Do we have such hope? Let us examine sincerely. So we know these things. We know all these things. But really speaking, quite often we don't consider these things at all. We plan, we make a lot of schemes, idea we have. Of course, we should plan, we should have schemes and idea. At the same time, we should not forget the hope, the future is the coming of Christ. We should dwell, we should focus, we should fix our mind, we should rest our hope fully in the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Peter says two things are necessary for that. In order to fix or in order to rest our hope fully in the coming of Christ, two things are necessary. What are those two things? It's written there. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind means? That is one thing. And next thing is, be sober. See, gird up the loins of your mind, a Jewish man, of course, I think we also can understand. From people from Kerala. Jewish people, they used to wear long clothes. So before they can run fast or walk fast, or they want to do some work, you know, they have to face those loose ends of their clothes. Otherwise, it will hinder them. We also have dhoti in Kerala, here also Kerala. See, we can't walk, we can't run with the dhoti. So we should gird it up or we should fasten it. So what Apostle Peter says, metaphorically he says that, in your mind also there are many loose ends. There are many things disturbing your mind. There are many thoughts that is disturbing you that you are not able to focus much on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mind is the battlefield. We know that. Your mind is the battlefield. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Mind. Lot of things. Ideas. Devil brings ideas into our mind. Thoughts into our mind. And our mind, our attention is taken away. Paul says, we capture every thought that comes against God, against Christ. Thoughts. Evil thoughts. Or in our mind, thoughts can disturb us. So what Peter says is, you should be focused. You should control your mind. You should be steadfast. You should be focused or you should be serious. You should not be disturbed. You should not allow various thoughts, concern of the world, concern of the worldly things to distract you. That's the idea, gird up the loins of your mind. What is the second one? Second one is, be sober. Be sober means? Be sober means, be alert. Or, be in good sense. Be sober means, not to sleep, not to be intoxicated. You should be in full consciousness. You should be able to know who you are, what is going to take place. You should be alert in your mind. In order to fix your thoughts on the coming of Christ. We need to gird up the loins of our mind and we should be conscious. We should be sober. We should be in good sense. In Luke's Gospel 15, we read about prodigal son. One word is used there. When he thought about going back to his father, Luke writes there, when he came to his sense. When he came to his sense. So till the time he was not in good sense. He was living, walking, working, doing everything, not in good sense. But when he got the real sense, you know, he realized, who am I? Why should I be here? What about my father? And what all the things I have in my father's house? So that is the idea here Apostle Peter says, you should be in good sense. You should know who you are. You should know what God has prepared for you. What God is going to do for you. So when you have this consciousness, you will be able to fix your thoughts on the coming of Christ. And you will not be disturbed by the things of this world. So that is the first thing Apostle Peter says, you should do. God has given you this great salvation. You are enjoying a wonderful privilege. And your responsibility is, fix your thoughts on the coming of Christ. Rest your hope fully on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing. Now, what is the second thing? Verse 14 and 15 together. But the main portion we see there, read 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. What is the second thing? Second duty of a Christian, because of the great salvation he is enjoying. Be holy in all your conduct. Now John says, 1 John 3:3. Apostle John says that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So according to John, this holiness, this holy life is actually a product of what? Full hope. Full hope. Everyone who has this hope, when our eyes are focused on the coming of Christ, John says, then he will purify his life just as the Lord is pure. Similar idea we have from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. We read there, as we look to the Lord, we shall be transformed little by little to the image of Jesus Christ. So holiness is actually a product of having full hope. So Apostle Peter says, you should be holy. Rest your hope fully on the coming of Christ. And secondly, you should be holy. Now notice that, holy in which area? Verse 15, be holy in all your conduct. All your conduct means? Not just to on Sunday, holy on Sunday. All your conduct means all your walk. In every area of your life, every day, everywhere, believers should lead a holy, pure life. Holy, be ye holy in all your conduct.
but here's the reason why.
Of course, earlier he has given the reason. That's why he said, therefore, based on the cause of the great salvation, but yet again he gives something more. Some more reason why you should lead a holy life. Three more reasons are there. He says in verse 14, first of all, as obedient children. As obedient children means? See, in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, there is the Apostle Paul says, as dear children, imitate thing God. Dear children, imitate the Father. That may be one idea. But I think according to J.M. Darby translates like this, as children of obedience. See just see one verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, I think. Verse 2. There we read, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience. Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See, that speaks about unbeliever. An unbeliever is a son of disobedience. An unbeliever has a spirit that motivates him to disobey. An unbeliever, he has a spirit that will motivate him, empower him to disobey. Peter says, you are born again, you have been born again, born of God, now you have a spirit, not a spirit that empowers disobedience, a spirit that empowers obedience. Now you have been born again, so what you need to do? You need to imitate your Father God, who is holy. That is one reason. Holiness, obeying God, imitating God, who is holy, should be a natural state of a born-again Christian. Because just as an unbeliever has a bend, has a natural inclination towards evil, a child of God should have or has a natural inclination towards holy life. Holy life is a mark of a Christian. Holy life should be a mark of a born-again believer, because you have a spirit that empowers or strengthens him to obey and lead a holy life. That is one thing. As obedient children, as dear children of God, as born-again children. Now, second reason, he says, second thing, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance. What is the second thing? Many things are, you know, packed there. He says, in your ignorance, you used to do a lot of things. When you were unbeliever, you were ignorant. You had no knowledge about God. You had no knowledge about the demands of God. So you used to live by the lust, craving of your flesh. But now, you have been transformed. Now what happened? You are not to conform, not to fashion to the world or the former lust. You had a former life. Before coming to Christ, you had a pattern. You had a kind of lifestyle. Now you should not conform to that. Now you should not follow it, because you have been transformed. You have put off the old nature. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, we will see it little more clearly. The writer Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 onwards. Ephesians chapter 4, read there, verse 17, end of 17, you should no longer walk, notice that, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. 18, middle of 18, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Gentiles, in their ignorance, because of their blindness, they live in a particular way. You should not walk like that. You used to walk like that. Now what happened? 22, we read there. 22, you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt, you have put off. You need to put off. You should not put on again. You should lead a holy life. You should be holy because now you have been transformed. Don't follow the former fashion. Former pattern. Ignorance, you did something. But now you have been changed, transformed. Because of the transformation, you need to live a holy or pure life. You should not copy the passions. It is foolishness. Once you remove, once you have put it off, once you have cast away that old sin nature, all the passions, now once again going after. See, I am conscious of my time. That's why I have to run, you know. Lot of things are there to consider. Often I wonder, how and why, especially many Christians, especially new generation, forefathers, they threw away certain things. Forefathers, they said it is wrong, it is evil, it is not good. They have separated themselves from those things. And today, without any shame, many Christians, born again believers, so-called Christians, adopting it back, taking it back, imitating it. It's bad. Apostle Peter says, you should not conform to the former lust. You should not conform to the fashion that you had in the past. Past is past. If you are taking it again, it is foolishness. It is shame. Just like a madman. Madman, he will throw away his cloak today and tomorrow he will take it again. Madman, he will take a bath today and he will wear the old dress again. Foolishness. If we follow the old things, if we take back those old things that we have already thrown out, godly men have thrown out. Godly people have thrown it out. Our children are taking it back. And we have no guts to say to our children, no, that is wrong. The world will say anything. People will say anything. Modern people will say many things. The so-called modern people. Post-modern people. We need to be old-fashioned Christians, believers. Peter says, not to be conformed to the former lust. As in your ignorance, we are not ignorant today. We know the word of God. God has enlightened us. Okay, now let's see the third thing Peter says, why you should be holy. One more thing is, he who called you is holy. Verse end of 16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Repeating, he is quoting from the book of Leviticus. Repeatedly, God called upon the people of Israel, you should be holy because I am holy. You are associated with me. I cannot associate with you if you are living unholy life. I am holy, you should be holy. If you take my name, you must be holy. If you don't live a holy life, I cannot own you. I will disown you. I cannot say you belong to me. Now you should understand one thing more. In the Old Testament, when God said you should be holy because I am holy, Israelites were helpless. they could not live a holy life. Why? Because we have already seen they had no indwelling Holy Spirit. There is no Holy Spirit indwelling them. So this verse in the book of Leviticus was a standard given to them. Be holy. But for you and me, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God indwelling. We have the divine nature. 2 Peter 1, 3 or 4, we read there. We have the divine nature. We have God Himself dwelling within us to impart His holiness to us. We are going to see that. We must be holy because the one who has called us is holy because of our association. Because we have a divine pattern because of our association. The one who has called us is holy. Now we should remember three things in relation to our Christian's holiness. To understand these three things. Imputed holiness, imparted holiness, perfect holiness. We read in the book of Hebrews 3:1, holy brethren. Holy brethren. We are holy people. Why? Because imputed holiness. Imputed holiness means God in the Lord Jesus Christ, or the holiness of Christ is imputed on us. God looks upon us as holy. In Christ, we are holy. Not our holiness, Christ's holiness. His holiness is put into our account. In Him, we are holy. That is called imputed holiness. Now, another thing is imparted holiness. Imparted holiness means, that's what they are considering. I'll explain it. But before that, third is perfect holiness. Perfect holiness means in Ephesians chapter 5, 27, also in Hebrews 13, 21, also we read, we shall be complete at the time of Christ. We shall be blameless. He is going to present us blameless, without any evil at all. Our holiness will be complete then. But today, imparting holiness. Whose holiness? The Lord Christ's holiness. Day after day, the Spirit of God, through various ways, through various, you know, in a process, He is imparting the holiness of Christ into our life. We read that in Hebrews 12:10. Hebrews 12:14. Then we read that the Lord chastens us. The Lord sends us through, you know, chastening process. Why? Because we may receive, we may have His holiness. He is imparting His holiness into our life. This aspect, in it, there is actually, I believe there is two aspects there. There's a divine aspect, human aspect. As we see in Hebrews 12:10, God imparts. He chastens us. That is God's side. And 2 Corinthians 7:1, and this verse of, you know, our responsibility. We need to be holy. God will make us holy. He will purify us. If we are born again Christian, God cannot simply leave us to live in sin. He will purify us. That is His part. Our part. Before God's chastening hand will come upon us, we need to leave aside. We need to put off the old things, former things, and be holy. Live a holy, pure life. That is our responsibility. Hebrew writer says that in Hebrews 12:14, without holiness no one can see God. God cannot use us. God cannot enjoy our presence. Joshua says in the book of Joshua 3:5, sanctify yourself, tomorrow God will do wonderful work. God cannot work among us. God cannot use us when we are holy vessel, when we are unholy vessel. So we need to be holy in all our country. In all our conduct, we need to be holy. I remember an illustration, but I have no time to say that. One dear brother, it's not an illustration, it's a reality. One brother said, referring to living a pure life, a holy life in every area. he said this illustration. He said, brother, when you come from Kerala, traveling two nights, two day, train. When you come to Dadar or any railway station, you have no hesitation to sit anywhere. You will sit on any bench. You don't see it is dirt, there is dirty, dirt or not. Because you know anyway, only full of dirt. But when you get ready, you want to go for maybe a marriage function, even if there is an empty seat on the railway station, you will not sit there. Why? Because you know, my dress is very clean. It should be clean. I'm going to meet the bride and bridegroom today. And my dress should not be defiled. It should be clean. So he said, when you make some concession somewhere, when you say, okay, it's okay, not always, only once in a while, only in this matter, so what, everybody is doing, when you make excuses, you will have many excuses. And when you stick on to the truth, no, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, I will live a holy, pure life which is acceptable to God, we will be prompted, encouraged, we will be challenged. We will not like to, you know, compromise on certain situation, on certain time. Everywhere, conduct yourself holy. I think we'll stop here. One more thing is there, the third one, you shall see in our next club, that is in verse 17. The third thing he says, conduct yourself in fear. We shall go there later on. Let us examine our life. These two things, these two areas. Do we have full hope? Do we have complete hope? Do we focus our eyes on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about holiness? If we are full of hope of the coming of the Lord, then we shall live a holy life. That will encourage and challenge. The Lord has made us new. The Lord has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is true. We cannot, till we die, we cannot live a perfect life. We cannot live in every way holy life. But the standard is that. We need to aim for that. We need to prayerfully aim out. The goal should be to live like Christ. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Much more holy, much more pure rather than the last days. That should be our aim. What kind of life? In every conduct, in our office, in our school, in our workplace, even when we go to market, how do we behave? What kind of life we have? Something serious, something we need to explain or we need to consider seriously. The conduct of a Christian, everywhere holiness, separated to the Lord, living a holy and pure. May God help us that, as Apostle Peter says, because we are so much privileged, enjoy such a great blessing in our day-to-day life, focus on the coming of Christ, that day when all our problems, all our pain, all our longing, all our hope will be over. And till then, we may live a holy, pure life, glorifying the Lord and giving, pleasing the heart of God the Father. May the Lord bless this verse to us.